Again. It's good to see you all. My name is, as I've said, Austin Vondracek. I'm the pastor here at Rosewood Church. If we have not had a chance to meet, I hope that we can soon. You can find me after service just hanging out in this little area right here. And if you want to meet or if there's any way I can be praying for you or any of the staff here can be praying for you, please pop on up after service. And today is the second Sunday in our series, Again and Again. And in this series, we're looking at five habits over the course of 5 weeks. And I'm challenging all of us, myself included, all of us, to consider what it would be like to adopt one or two of these habits into our daily life. Kind of thinking like a little bit of a New Year's resolution, but beyond just the 1 month that we normally carry New Year's resolutions on for. The reason for just one or two and not all five is because small habits done continuously over time produce big changes. And, I think we've all been there. We've tried to bite off more than we can chew with goals or resolutions or whatever it is. And then 1 month later, we're doing nothing. See, I would rather us consider one or two things, no matter how small, that we can realistically carry with us. And as those habits become just what we do, well, then we can add on a little bit more. So maybe you're going to adopt these five habits, but don't try to do it all at once. Today, I want to think about the habit of time with God's Word. Now, this is about engaging in relational practices again and again that promote a personal relationship with Jesus. Now we could be here all day naming all of the ways that God speaks, all of the means of communication. You could teach me a few. I could teach you a few. We'd be here all day talking about different places where we experience God, different times of the day, different practices, all those kind of things. But I want to focus on three. I'd consider kind of the three big ones. Scripture, prayer and meditation, kind of combined into one, and community. And making a habit of connecting with God in these ways can take you from the faith that you have to the faith that you want. And it's something that everyone can do. However, you should not just take my word for it. I am excited for today because this Sunday is our first taping here at Rosewood Church of West Michigan's newest favorite Sunday morning talk show called When Pastors Stop Talking. And our first guest here is Trayson McIntyre. So as he comes up, let's let him know we love him. Come on up, Trayson. Which one you want? Blue. All right. But we practice with me on that side. So I don't know if I can do this. You fit in there? No. No, you don't fit in there? Well, that's all right. I don't have any other chairs. So, Trayson, how old are you?
9.
You're 9 years old? All right. And are you a little bit nervous today?
No.
No? You're not nervous at all?
No.
I'm going to have you preach next week. I get nervous every time I'm up here. But good for you. I'm glad that you're not nervous. You don't have anything to be nervous about. So Trayson here is excellent at memorizing scripture. And you're going to actually recite a verse for us today, right? You remember which one it is?
Yeah.
Yeah? What is it?
Romans 5:8.
Let's hear it.
But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8.
Nice. Good for you. And why did you choose that passage? Because that's a great passage.
Because it's a good passage because when we sin, it tells us that Jesus Christ will still forgive us and love us.
Awesome. You're the man. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, Trey. Yeah. Some of you right now are thinking, oh my goodness, Trayson's 9 and he has more memorized than I do. You're a little worried right now. No, great job, Trayson. I appreciate you sharing that with us. How did you go about memorizing that verse?
By reading it like 1,000 times.
1,000. So again and again, just reading that verse over and over again. And did other people help you with that or did you do it alone?
I did it alone.
You did it all on your own. That's good. That's your way of doing it. And what would your advice be for someone like me who would say that they're not very good at memorizing and can't really memorize anything from the Bible?
To read it 1,000 times.
Read it 1,000 times. All right. All right. So there it is from Trayson. You read it 1,000 times. Now, do you think that anyone, what you did was really special. Do you think anyone can do that?
Yeah.
You think so? I agree. All right. Let's hear it for Trayson, our first guest on When Pastors Stop Talking. Hey, good job. Good job. Ugh. Oh, perfect. Thank you for the help. You can take that microphone, but don't say anything into it, okay? All right. So of the three, scripture, specifically for Trayson, that scripture is very important for him. And memorizing scripture, even more specific, is an important habit that Trayson gets into. And I know that that's also not the only verse that he knows. And like he said, how does he do it? How did he do it? It was again and again and again, reading it over and over and over again and committing it to memory. So, if you've been a part of a church for any length of time, chances are that you've been told to do at least one of these three things, reading scripture, engaging in prayer and meditation, or being a part of a Christian community. Chances are you've been told to do one or all of these things. But why? Why should you? I mean, admittedly, I've advised people that they should, you know, do these things, but sometimes I don't actually have a good idea why. It's just like the sense of, well, I don't know who told me first, but a lot of people have. This is kind of just what we do, right? This is what we do. Now, I'm not saying that I gave bad advice or that's even wrong or necessarily a wrong reason to. However, there are a lot of people, having met people, and we'll look at some stats to kind of back it up, who have asked this question, wondered aloud, and never really gotten a good answer. Some of you have tried to get into the habit of this before. You've tried to do these things, and it's just kind of fallen short. Some of you, on January 1st, you made the New Year's resolution. I'm going to read my Bible. This year, this is going to be the year of reading my Bible. And you open it up, and you find that little you know, page marker is right where you left it last year in January too, because it's just like you tried to do 15 chapters a day and get through it in 3 months, and it just didn't work. And maybe not knowing why these habits are important in the Christian life is part of the reason for that. You know, stats back up the low engagement among Christians in these areas. And read from three different, there's kind of three primary religious survey groups that I'm gonna go from here. The Barna Group found that in 2018, last year, 14% of American adults read their Bible daily. 8% read it about once a month. According to the Pew Research Center, 55% of American adults pray daily. Okay, that's better than reading their Bible, at least. I mean, we're 5 percentage points away from a passing grade of D-, 4 if the teacher's feeling generous. But that probably shouldn't be the goal that we aim for, because about 23% report prayer never happening in their life, that they seldom or never pray. And according to the Gallup polls, about 38% of American adults attend religious services every week or almost every week. Now, there's no reliable data to say how many are involved in smaller, you know, not just a part of a larger church like this, but also smaller groups. My guess is it's about a quarter to a third of that 38% are involved in smaller groups. So let's answer these questions. Why do I need to pray? Why do I need to read my Bible? Why should you meditate? Why should you be part of a church? Or better yet, why should you be a part of a smaller group outside of just church services? Why should these be habits that we do again and again? Now, the answer for all of them is really the same. A personal relationship, this is the reason, a personal relationship requires individual conversation. And the story of God through history is accounted in the Bible and even other sources as well, but primarily through the Bible, is a story of humanity's push away from this personal relationship and this relentless, over-the-top method that God chose, the lengths at which he chose to write that relationship, to make up the space that humanity ran from him. He goes through that. That's what the story of Scripture ultimately is. And in every major worldwide religion that believes that there is a God or gods, the divine sends messengers or some sort of text or documents in order to make up that gap. That in every one of them, there's this rebellion, or there's some sort of, you know, there's the divine and there's the not divine, and there's a reason for that. And the way they close the gap, every single faith needs to figure that out. How do we close the gap? And for every one of them, there is a messenger or documents that are sent in order to close the gap. But Christians believe exclusively that God came personally. There is not another faith tradition that claims the same level of personal connection between the divine and the created. So if a personal relationship is what God wants, then individual direct communication is necessary. The Apostle Paul says it this way in his letter to the Christian church in Philippi. He says, Jesus made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And before Jesus died, resurrected, and ascended to heaven, he promised that this personal touch, that God's arrival on earth, would not just be an event with a beginning and an end, but rather that after he was gone, his spirit would take over. His spirit would be present. The Apostle Paul, again, says to a different church in a different letter, he says, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God. Now, when Paul wrote these words, the Jewish temple was still standing in Jerusalem. He wrote this between like 50 and 60 AD, and the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. So it's still there, and it was still a symbol of this, of how God's presence was in the temple, that God resided in the temple, specifically in the Holy of Holies, inside of the temple. God had one place. God had one location. But God was doing something new, as Paul was talking about. He was moving addresses. He was going from the Holy of Holies to actually, through faith, residing in you. I mean, how much more personal can you get? God's personal relationship with you requires individual conversations to stay vibrant. That's how it is for any relationship. And it's not just one conversation. You know, a relationship isn't made and sustained by just having one good talk with somebody, but rather these conversations over and over again, a habit of communication. And that's what these disciplines are: Scripture, prayer, meditation, and community. They are habits of communication with Jesus. And so today we're going to look at all three, and you know what, it's not that we're scratching the surface today, because what we're talking about is going to be deep and important, but the thing is, there are volumes written on what we're talking about today. I mean, I measured what's the length of books in my office that deal with these three things. I had about 4 feet of books dedicated, and that's just my office, and trust me, there's bigger offices out there with more books. The point is, you can read about this, you can talk to other people about it, you could listen to a million sermons about it, but the reality is that for each of these, if you want to adopt these and really understand what they're all about, the best way is to practice. And so today, I just want to get you started. I want to answer why, and I want to get you started so that you can take these as homework home with you and consider what they look like as habits in your life. And so the first one, Scripture. Let's say, hypothetically here, let's say that you become inspired with a monumental, life-changing idea, an idea that is so important that everyone in the world must know about it. Everyone alive today and everyone that will come must know about this monumental idea that you have been inspired with, and it's only you. You're the only person who knows this. And not only does every person need to know, but if every person doesn't find out, that's your fault. It's on you, because you are the one who possesses this knowledge in order to tell the entire world. How are you going to do it? Are you going to go door to door? You going to open up your phone? That's like it's still flipping open. Are you going to look at your phone, and are you going to go through your contacts, and are you going to go one by one asking or going through and calling them and dialing them and telling them about this idea? No, you're not. Why? Because it's too slow. There's 7 billion people in this world and still more to come. You need to get the word out. Remember, the world needs to know this, and if they don't, you are held responsible. You need to use a mode of communication that can be shared and preserved. So what if you're God? What if you have a message that you need to get out to every person in this world? Everyone who is alive then, and everyone who is to come. The Bible is God's one message multiplied. The Bible is what the author of life authored to point the world towards life. And he had to get the message out there. He needed it to get out there in a way that could be shared to every person and preserved over time, because it wasn't just for the people that were living then, it's for us now. And if it's not preserved, it's not available to us. And reading the Bible as a daily habit teaches and solidifies the message of Jesus that as Christians we all share, and as the world we all need. And ultimately, Jesus is the one whom we are called to imitate. But how are you going to imitate what you don't know? Second is prayer and meditation. Now, prayer is pretty widely accepted, right? Not very many people are going to argue with me on that one. Even people who don't believe in God report that they do, in fact, pray on occasion. But in my experience, sometimes Western Christians can be a little bit uneasy about the second part of that, meditation, thinking that meditation is like an Eastern religion thing that Christians shouldn't necessarily dabble in. But the Bible speaks of meditation directly 22 times. The authors of the Bible speak about it 22 times, with numerous other references to solitary habits. Meditation is a common practice in other religions. Yes, that's absolutely true. But Christian meditation is about blocking out all distractions so that we can hear from God. Whereas other religious traditions, it's about blocking everything out and disconnecting from reality. And prayer and meditation really fit together well, because prayer is when we speak to God, and meditation is when you stop to listen for God. Prayer and meditation requires us to slow to a stop and remember that, like we just read, remember that we are a temple of God's Spirit, a personal dwelling of a deeply relational God, who whispers to you and to I, come with me by yourself to a quiet place and get some rest. Prayer and meditation are the religious equivalent to meeting with a close friend or your best friend every day for coffee. You just sit down and get some coffee together. And if you do that with a close friend, there's going to be times where you talk about things that are of utmost importance in your life, and there's going to be times when you talk about things that aren't all that important. There's going to be times where you cry together. There's going to be times where you laugh together. There's going to be times where you do both in the same conversation. There's going to be times where you talk a lot, and then there's going to be times where you listen a lot. And I think that is a great look at what prayer really is. It's to a certain degree, it's very normal. Prayer is meant to be normal, not just something that we come to when we, when life has thrown us a curveball and we're not sure what to do, when we're confused, when we don't see where God is, when crisis occurs. It's not just about that. And it's not just about, God doesn't just want you to bring the big stuff. He wants the little stuff. If you want to make this a habit, start by just checking in with him. Tell him about your day. There's nothing wrong with that. Tell him about your day. Bring him in on the little things. Trust him with the little things. And then move along from there. That level of personal relationship only happens through individual conversations, not just once, but again and again. And And last but not least is community, making a habit of spending time with God again and again in the community of other Christians. Now, there are loads of Jesus-loving men and women all around us in your neighborhoods, at work, in your schools, everywhere. There are loads of Jesus-loving men and women who do not believe that Christian community is something that's for them or something that is of really any importance or value. The life, though, the life that the author of life spells out in the Bible is not an isolated life. A life given over to the habit of gathering as a Christian community is marked by mutual encouragement towards the glory of Jesus. I love how the author of Hebrews puts it. Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another. I love that. And the reason is because that one word, that spur. I love the verb chosen. The idea is like, you think of, you probably do too, like you think of like cowboy and a horse, right? Like spurring on. And that's kind of sometimes, I feel like I'm sometimes the rider and I sometimes feel like I'm the horse. Like sometimes I feel like I'm spurring people on. Like right now, I'm trying to spur you on. What do I have to do here to get you to memorize as much as Trayson or whatever? Like I'll spur you on in faith. And there's other times where you spur me on in faith. And we do, it's something that we do to one another. Sometimes we're the horse, sometimes we're the rider, but regardless, together we spur one another on. And in community, you move towards the prize of glorifying Jesus further and faster than you ever could alone. So do you need Christian community in order to be a Christian? Do you have to be a member of a church? Do you have to go to a church in order to be a Christian? Absolutely not. You don't. However, to be faithful to the words that Jesus gave us, and the 36 references in the New Testament to what it means to live, and this being one of them, to live as Christians for one another. In order to do that, we have to be. We have to be a part of a community. You know what? The smaller you get, the better. The smaller you get, the more personal you get. Sometimes that scares us away a little bit, but really it's something that welcomes us into the life that the author of life has given us. Christian community is absolutely important, and it's something that we only really get once we jump in and give it a try. So let me ask you this to finish up today. If you treated your best friend like you treat God, would they still be your friend? If you spent as much time with God, or spent as much time with your best friend as you do with God, by whatever means, any one of these three plus the ones that you add, if you spent that much time with your best friend, would that person want to be your friend? I think every one of us at some point would probably say no. Some of you would say yes. There's a lot of people here who have a deeply committed and habitual a way of living within God's presence, and that's awesome. Those are people who we want to learn from. And then there's also some of us who, we do this, don't we? Up and down a little bit. Sometimes we're up, sometimes we're down, and maybe right now is a down. And maybe this is one of those habits that you are going to consider kind of bringing into your life in the new year and beyond. So with all that in mind, let's go to our personal God that listens to us, that through the Holy Spirit, He listens to us and we commune with Him. We can talk to our God right here. So let's do it. Jesus, we are so thankful that we can be with You right now. We can actually talk to You. That God, You could have been anything You wanted and You chose to be accessible. So God, speak to us now in the quietness of this moment. God, in the scriptures, there's a story of Elijah who's seeking You. He wants to hear from You. He went through a great success defeating another nation, but then fell into a great deal of distress. And Jesus, You arrived in His presence. God, You arrived there with Him, but You arrived in the form of a whisper. And God, in a busy, loud, noisy, crazy, schedule-packed world, Jesus, we put all those things aside and we listen for You, for your whisper in our life, through your whisper here in this prayer. God, we could talk about a lot of things, but we also want to listen. And so, Jesus, make yourself known to us, and for each one of us who are looking for a word from you, each one of us in a unique way. God, we ask you to help us clear out the things that detract from that, that distract us, that get in the way, the voices that are louder than your whisper. God, we pray that you move those out of the way and help us do that. Move those out of the way. Because, God, we are hungry for a word from you. In Jesus' name we pray.